My name's Jen Yuchin.
And I'm Ari Fox.
And we're New Gaming News, a bi-weekly podcast and newsletter focused on the esports and gambling industry.
So there's three articles that kind of say the same thing, but for different companies. The first one being Scientific Games expands into esports with game scorekeeper deal. And pretty much all they're doing is they're just getting data to incorporate in their like betting platform to make the user experience better.
Yeah, you know, this article came out right after ICE London, the International Casino Expo that they have in London, where it's pretty big. And, Scientific Games, Scientific Games is a slot machine company.
Mm. I remember seeing them, I think, at the CEC?
Yeah. So they're sort of diversifying their offerings the gambling industry, and you know, plain and simple, they don't know anything about esports.
Yeah.
And they have to hire internal people, maybe one or two guys that deals with their esports wagering platform, and that guy is the guy who, I don't know who that is in particular, Scientific Games, but you know, then they reach out to the best contact that they can get.
Let's see.
Where they, you know, they connect with someone who's going to be dealing with their statistics. Because, you know, they're going to need that, you know, once they launch their wagering program.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are a lot, you're going to see more and more of that going on. And, you know, as we get, you know, as things progress, you know, I've talked about this in the past, about, you know, esports being a bubble.
Mm.
I think I put something on LinkedIn, a video about the esports bubble and about how it needs to correct itself. But this market, and I'm talking about the gambling market, the wagering market,
yeah,
for esports, is one of those things that's going to develop and going to be around for a very long time. It's like the Amazon.com, the Amazon.com. It's a moneymaker. Let's put it that way. It's gonna get a return on investment as opposed to, you know, what we've seen. You know, what we've seen as far as the bubble bursting, you know, overvalued teams, overpaid players professionally, and non-sustainable business models, which is what's happened. And that, I'm not saying they're going to go away. That'll come back too. But I think the gambling side of things, as esports gets closer and closer to it, and as we get closer to a bubble pop and a correction in the ecosystem, you're going to see more and more and more of them trying to reach out to the gambling industry and the gambling industry reaching out to the esports industry to start to coordinate and work together more and more, because it's a home run there.
Mm-hmm.
People, there's a lot of money to be made. I've been saying this for years. So, you know, because, I mean, I have to be biased. I have a background in the casino industry over 20 years. And then, you know, there's, you know, my experience in understanding and following video gaming and esports all this time, over the last 10 years, so, or half that time. So, yeah, the intersection is getting more and more of, it's getting bigger. More people are funneling into this intersection, and more people are finding that that's where, if there's going to be a pot of gold anywhere, you know, it's going to be, you know, crossing that bridge into the wagering world, into the casino world. And, you know, it's not something that I think I'm proud of. I don't think anybody's proud of it. But it's, you know, if you want to have a sustainable model, you have to go where there's going to be money made.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's just like, if, you know, when the .com and the internet came out, one of the first things they started doing was putting X-rated movies on and X-rated, you know, content online.
Yeah.
People paid for that. People were paying for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so that's where it all started. It's the vices that move the consumer, and the vices that move the consumer, and then the consumer gravitating to those vices, and then building up, the esports world and the casino world, the wagering world, find a happy marriage, because money is going to be generated.
So I have a question for you, and it's kind of based on these articles, but do you think that, because a lot of these betting platforms are partnering with more and more, like, data analytics providers, like, just so they can give an in-depth look while people are betting on esports, do you think that that necessarily creates a better user experience, or what do you think these online platforms need to be better?
Well, I think it's helping the consumer. It's going to get more consumers involved. Like, a lot of people who, you know, are casual gamers, and they play casually, once they start looking at, like, some of the guys that they're following because they play a certain game, and they don't, you know, they may like that guy, you know, who's playing, I don't know, let's say, for example, I'll use Smash, you know. And you have players, professional players like Nairo and you know, and the Moon, and, you know, I can think of the Buzz, all these like players that like play on Smash Circuit.
Mm-hmm.
You got guys that play Smash, but they don't necessarily know the statistics of these guys. And you know, they're getting older, they're getting a little bit of money, and you know, they like to play casually, but you know what? It would be fun to see their favorite player and bet on their favorite player, just like it's fun to bet, you know, for your favorite player in, you know, in conventional sports.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, you know, it's the socialization, because in socialization of gaming, there's an element of that.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think that's where it's going. And so by having statistics, they get more of an in-depth background, and it attracts other people who wouldn't necessarily wager in esports to then say, oh, you know what, that guy, he just won $30 because he wagered on Nairo to win.
Yeah.
I mean, then, you know, somebody else is going to say, oh, what's his stats? You know, and then they get involved that way.
Yeah, it's super fun.
That's the big trot. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
That's what this is about at the end of the day.
It's having fun.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everyone else, the casino world, the publishers, everyone else, of course, everybody needs to make money. But we can't forget, it's the gamer. It's what the gamer wants. It's not about, you know, it's at the end of the day, it's like, you want to give and create a fun and interactive community where people are really enjoying themselves and having a good time.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing that, you know, in all my talks and all the things I do, I never lose focus of that, because that's what it's all about. We're going to make money, but you want to make sure that the person has fun. Listen, you know, when Walt Disney built Disney World, I mean, the guy was a kid, he was a child, you know, in his mind. You know, Walt Disney had, like, this great imagination. I'm not going to compare myself to Walt Disney, but I can tell you that, you know, I'm just as...
He thought about the end experience.
Yeah, I'm just as immature as the next guy. So, like, you know, as far as I'm concerned, all I want to do is see a lot of people with a lot of smiles and having a great time.
Yeah, I totally feel the same way. And that kind of brings me into this next... I'm going to skip over the two articles and go to this next one because it's kind of, like, redundant. But there's a new app called Hero.live, and I actually downloaded it because I was curious about it, and I want to see if people kind of get on board. It's this app that hosts, like, watch parties for different, not only esports events, really. It's literally any, like, YouTube video or any sort of, like, Twitch channel. So it's just an online group watch party, and I think that this model can even be incorporated into these betting sites as well, because it's literally just about people hanging out, having fun, and talking to each other over the voice while watching something. It's pretty cool. Yeah, so I don't know if it's going to catch on, but it's pretty cool.
So instead of the actual text chat, it's an actual voice chat.
Yeah, it, like, pops up with your icon. You can invite, I think it was 20 people or something like that. Maybe it was, like, 27. But you can have your own little personal watch parties, and you could see your face, and it's a voice chat, not text.
Well, here's an interesting thing. That would be really cool. But what if you had the ability to not go into VR of the game that you're actually playing, but VR into a gaming center, like a private lounge for the people that are in other parts of the
world. Yeah, that would be awesome.
Time. Yeah, so you can see the other person who you're playing, and when that person starts to chat or talk, you can see that they're about to say something. So instead of, because, you know, when you talk on the phone or you're in a group chat, people tend to interrupt each other or don't know because they can't see body language.
Yeah.
And they can't really read, you know, who's about to say something.
Yeah.
So I think that if we can create that, and I know people that are working on that kind of thing.
Yeah, that'd be a fun casino-to-casino experience, like, let's say you're, I don't know, Bally's, because I can't think of anything else. Let's say you're Bally's, and I go to this VR lounge, and I'm talking to other people from other Bally's. And it's just all one social chat room.
Right. Well, that's actually something that, yeah. Well, they really want to start creating games where you can sit down at a Bally's or any other casino, and you can bet and play from your console, you know, where you are, to another casino person who's also betting, you know, on the same game. So you don't necessarily have to have a person with you at that casino. You could play against someone else at a different casino.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's cool.
Or you could play through the casino's online casino. Somebody's sitting at home, but they're going through the casino server. So it's all sanctioned, and the casino's watching the betting, the peer-to-peer betting, and they're taking their rate, etc.
Yeah, that's cool.
But, you know, there's already something like what you're describing, but it's not VR, and it's not done over the internet yet. At the Lynx Casino, which is a Caesars property in Las Vegas, they have something called The Book.
The Book.
Which is The Book. So it's really short for the sports book. It is part of the sports book. But it's these small little, like, living room settings where they have a TV and that can split into four different screens. And they have consoles where you can play video games with your friends and watch sports at the same time. You're not doing it for money, but it is something recreational. Gaming or video gaming world that they already have inside their sports book.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
So
we're moving into that. Yeah, we're moving into that direction. So as more of this types of tech come out, you'll see, as I said, because there's a lot more money to be made in the gambling space too. Publishers are not going to want to leave that money on the table.
Mm.
And you know, I have said this more than once on our podcast about how publishers need to rethink sectionalizing their games. So if you have, you know, like PUBG, you have PUBG for gambling space.
Yeah.
Special modified version. You have PUBG for professionals, and you have PUBG for the rest of the world.
Mm.
And so if they sectionalize it into the what I call the Holy Trinity, they'd be making really a lot of money, at least the publishers would. And then, you know, the gambling side would be too. So
yeah.
And esports would actually benefit from that as well, because you wouldn't have, you know, every 6 months another modification to the game, which does hamper, you know, on the professional level.
Yeah, we've seen it happen in Overwatch and Call of Duty.
Right.
And so, many other things as well, but that's always front of mind.
Right. And, you know, I saw something interesting. There was, I saw recently a new twist on Rocket League.
Okay, what's that?
Where it was, you sit in, like, one of those racing simulator seats.
Okay.
And you're actually driving the car.
That's fun.
With the steering wheel. Right. And then you have like a joystick on the side to do your jumps and stuff like that. So
that's really cool.
Yeah, and the seat moves, and you know, it's like, there's like, it's like really fun.
Rocket League is funny because it's so underrated, but it's such a, it's actually a pretty popular esport, and especially with developments like you're talking about, it's going to be like a number one game.
Well, Rocket League?
Yeah, it's like so underrated, I feel like.
Yeah, I think they could do a little more about it. You know, I mean, with this particular version I saw, they want to add virtual reality. So you're like when your car spins, you're going to spin.
That would mean we want to throw up.
Yeah, well, that's the challenge. You have to be able to, you know, handle the actual. You know, your car's, you know, the seat's going to shake. You're going to
really that's
feel
pretty
like you're
cool.
In the car.
That's pretty cool. A lot of adrenaline heads will like that.
Well, that's what I'm saying is that that's, so we're moving, and more and more you're going to see also esports moving into the visual and the, you know, with VR and AR, you're going to see a lot more competitive games that are actually using the entire body and not just the hands and feet. I mean, or just hands. You know, so that's something else to look for in the future, and that's something, you know, that's going to be where you'll get, like, you might get, like, professional athletes that, you know, then start getting involved into, you know, esports, but it's esports in a physical sense.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah.
So that's a whole nother world we haven't
even
gotten.
A whole nother level to it, yeah. Interesting.
I've seen a VR game that's like, it's like a ball of like fire, and you like, it's like dodgeball. But
that's,
it's
cool.
Like, yeah, and it's like, and you throw it at people. It's like really cool.
Yeah, it's super fun.
Passes, so you can see where the ball is.
It's definitely the wave of the future. I feel like these LAN centers should put more VR stuff in them.
Well, you know, the thing about the LAN centers is that, you know, I'm not a big proponent of it, as I mentioned, because I don't think the business model is that strong, because, they always need to fill it with content.
Yeah.
And that's a difficult thing to do. But
it is.
Because people can always play at home, and they don't need to go to the LAN center.
Well, not to get too into it, that's what we're trying to do at Augment. We're trying to fill up these LAN centers during the daytime so that there's actual use for them.
Right. And that's great. And that, I hope, will help answer some of their problems as far as filling them with content. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of work to be done on that end of it. And, you know, it's still, I'm still not convinced on the LAN center side yet. I really think a lot more push has to do on, like, what you guys are doing in building the content. And if more LAN centers start to do that, there could be more value in it. But I definitely think the building of LAN centers is an overvalued prospect at this point.
It's more showy.
Right, at this point. But in order for them to be more, to attract more people, I definitely think they need VR. They need AR. They need all kinds of location-based entertainment to really bring in, more people. Because when somebody loses a match or a tournament, you lose them. They just walk out.
Yeah.
And if there was something else for them to do, I mean, even a pool table would be good.
Yeah, literally anything for them to do while they're hanging out, standing around. Because I've been to watch parties where you go there and it's cool, but there's not much else to do unless you're just going to play video games. But it's like, I'm here to be social and have fun with people, not be on the game by myself. I don't know. It's just, it's a weird balance to strike. Like, friendly tournaments are one thing because those are kind of fun. But if you're not competitive at all, you might still want to be at this location. And like you said, like having like pool tables or extra arcade or like VR, it's just something interactive.
Even a table game.
I mean,
even a card game or something.
Something.
You know, to get people to connect with one another. Mm-hmm. That's even something that a LAN center can experiment with, because it's fun. You know,
totally
the idea
agree.
Behind it is, like, you want to have fun. You know, there is this kind of concept when somebody makes a LAN center and somebody's building a LAN center. It's like, oh, it's
is hardcore, yeah.
Yeah, and it's
they're here to prove themselves and get street cred.
Right, because, you know, it's like they're trying to mimic what we know already, which is like when you go to a Little League game, everybody's cheering for those teams, you know, but it's not the same.
It's not the same when it's local.
Right.
It's more about hanging out, having fun.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's even about hanging out and having fun when it's a professional esports tournament.
Yeah.
I don't think they do enough outside of that, because when your team isn't up on the main stage, you know, you're not really into it.
Yeah.
So you go find something else to do.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I see it.
I'm going to wrap this up with a little just esports information that I think is very interesting and a good move just for the industry in general. So Ubisoft, with their Rainbow Six Siege tournaments, they're putting regulations around Rainbow Six Siege, including regional programs for Asia, Pacific, Europe, Latin America, and North America, and each will have its own competitive structure. So each year is going to be considered a season, and it's going to be split into quarters, with the first three counting as stages, and each of these stages will wrap up in a major per region, and then the fourth and final stage there will be an invitational, a six team invitational. And I think it's smart, because then there's less traveling for the players, which is a huge problem again for Overwatch League and Call of Duty League, because it is international. I think it just makes sense, and it creates content for the whole entire year around your sport.
Yeah, I think you got to look at, there are three major leagues and major esport games that we could look at for the future that are going to stick around, that are working on. We've talked about Blizzard, and we keep going on about how wrong they're doing everything, which they are. They're going in the opposite direction. But if you look at companies like Valve, and if you look at companies like Ubisoft, and if you look at companies like, Riot, I think they're doing all the right things. I think so too.
Riot's cool. Riot's real cool. Not to cut you off, but they put out music videos. They put out all kinds of crazy stuff. They're smart. They get really deep into the culture.
Riot is just doing, they're really going all, they're really pumping out all cylinders. And I really think that what they're doing is they're smart. They are. They're doing the right thing. And if you also look at the FGC community. The FGC community is really underrated.
Yeah.
If you think about things that are overrated, the FGC community is underrated. The FGC community is definitely, it's going to be a rising star. People are going to really start to gravitate towards it.
I don't understand why it's so small. Besides Evo, there's no huge tournaments. I just don't get it.
Well, I mean, there's big communities. I mean, you have,
there's
have
huge e, communities.
Right, you have Big E in the Pennsylvania area, and then there's other ones around the country. But, what I think it is that, it's just not sexy enough for investors.
I guess because it is more gritty. It's a little bit more underground and punk rock. That's why I like it.
Oh, I do too, but I can tell you right now, I think it's more exciting than anything. I love
it. It's more exciting because you can follow it. Like, League of Legends, as somebody who knows a pretty good amount of about League of Legends, sometimes I'm watching it and I'm like, dude, this is boring.
Right.
You're not going to watch the first, 20 minutes of a match.
Right, but FGC is like watching a boxing match.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's fast-paced. It's quick. You know what's going on, even if you're not an esports fan. It's hype.
Yeah, it is totally hyped. But anyway, my point with that is, I think the FGC is going to be a rising star in the future of esports. And there will be different types of games that come out. And I know one of them. There's something called United Fighting League. And it's a VR version of a fighting game where you put on VR headset and bodysuit, and you're placed into arena and you're fighting with lightsabers.
Yeah, I remember you talking about that. That's so cool.
And there's going to be more like that. And
there has to be.
There's another game that was put out by Chicken Waffle, which is a game developer. I'm giving them a plug right now. So, Finn, if you're out there, you can thank me later. Anyway, Chicken Waffle is a game developer from Austin, Texas. And they have a really cool game. The name always slips, but it's kind of like Tron. It's like Tron that they have like a disc, and it's VR, and you like float all over this area, and you can like hyper beam yourself to different locations, so to avoid getting hit by.
That's kind of how Unspoken was. I think it was called. It was like a magic game. That's kind of how was.
Unspoken was by Insomniac, I think.
I believe it was.
Yeah. So, bottom line is there's all these other types of games, these fighting games that are going to be coming out that are like the next evolution of fighting games. And they're really wild. There's a lot that, you know, esports is definitely not, when I say bubble, I mean an ecosystem correction. I don't mean that it's just going to
pop,
blow up and follow away and fall away. I think it's going to be amazing, but the ecosystem has to correct itself because there's just stupid money being thrown around, really stupid money. And people are going to lose their shirts.
Yeah.
But you got to be smart. You got to look at these investments and analyze them before move forward. So, that's why a lot of people ask me my opinion because. I look at all this stuff. I see what's going on.
And you're embedded into the community.
Right, but you got to see the forest through the trees is what they say. But I was told, always see the forest through the trees. And on that note, hopefully everyone will, enjoy the nice weather we've been having in the Northeast. And, till next time, I guess.
All right, see you in 2 weeks, Ari. Have a good night.
Yeah, you too. Have a great night. Thank you, everybody, for listening.